The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast, live and uncatfished. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and joining me, my good buddy and Montana Seahawker, Adam Emmert.
Happy Geno Day, good buddy. This is a good day. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are wringing their hands out there. It's too much money, all that stuff. It's a valid opinion. I'm excited, though. I'm fired up. I think this is the right move, and I think it's the first of the big dominoes to build a championship offseason.
Man, just going to blow your take right out there. You're not even going to lead into it with anything. It's just you just threw it out there. Adam's take right there.
Oh, see, I throw the take out there and everybody can like sit and spin it in their head. Be like, well, I don't know about that. And then I got all this facts, logic and reason that I'm going to bring to back that up here in a minute. So like, this is just the beginning of my take, Brandon. I didn't throw the whole thing out there.
Well, that's the fun thing about doing this live is then people can react and we can respond in real time. And so with Geno re-signing, the preliminary details sounds like it's a 3-year, $105 million deal, and which averages out then to $35 million a year, which to me matches about my excitement level about what I think of Geno. Like, that's mediocre quarterback money. And if it works out, then this is going to look like a bargain. Like, if he continues to play at the level he did in 2022 and maybe even improves a little bit more, then $35 million a year seems like a bargain. If he drops off and he doesn't put up the kind of numbers that we saw last year and he goes back to being the Geno that everybody had their opinion of him, then it's still not a huge hit because from the details that we're hearing, and we'll probably get more over the next 24 hours, but it said $52 million in the first calendar year. And I think when people read that, they thought, well, $52 million for the first year, that's a lot of money. You have to remind them and say, calendar year is not exactly 1 year. Like, you're pushing over to the next year, and that could be guaranteed money that kicks in at the start of March. And so it could be the type of deal to where it's a $40 million signing bonus, right? And you can spread out that $40 million over the length of the 3-year contract. Part of that, it's like a $2 million deal for his base contract the first year. So if you think 2 million, 40 divided, I should have picked a number that divided by 3 better than 40, because that's tough to do. It's about 13 and a half. So that would only be a $15.5 million cap hit in the first contract year. And then he probably has like a $10 million bonus that kicks in on March 1st. And that's how you get to $52 million guaranteed for one calendar year.
Okay. Well, a couple things there. Number one, you are right about the calendar year thing for sure. But also too, you know, you saw a couple tweets saying, yeah, it's $52 million for the first year. That's not correct. It's up to $52 million in the first year. Now, anytime you hear anybody talk about a contract, especially the agents, when they release this to the news reporters and all that, they always like to put the biggest number out there. So it looks like they did good for their client, make their client look good. $52 million for the first year. The odds of that happening are extremely low. He's probably going to have to win the Super Bowl to get up to $52 million. It's probably closer to that $35, $40 million range in that first year, amortized out, however it is they do it. We really have no clue how the contract is structured. And, you know, we can look at the average per year right now. I think that's about the only thing we can really look at and have a sense of. But we don't know the guaranteed money yet, and that's what really matters. So the up to $52 million a year, catfish! No way. That's not happening. And you know how that goes. Now, some would argue, hey, whatever it was that Geno's contract was this year, it was up to a certain amount. He pegged that out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the bar was a little lower to get up to whatever it was. I guarantee you up to 52 million has some extreme performance incentives in there that are unlikely, because I think the idea of him getting even just a little bit better this year, probably not going to happen. I think he's probably going to be about what he was, or maybe even a little lesser, because the league has had a year of tape to look at it, but still very good.
Carly saying, I'm just glad that we didn't lose him and we have to draft a quarterback. We can draft a quarterback, but we don't need to. And I think that's probably where the team was coming at too with this move. You can make this move now, maybe with the way, depending on how the contract is structured, it makes it easy to move on after a year, and the Seahawks can do that. Maybe they still draft a quarterback this year. I had planned to release an episode with EJ Snyder talking about the combine today, but with this news, we're going to be bringing EJ on and talking combine here probably tomorrow. Ryan coming in with a $9.99 super chat for even newer new equipment. Let's go, Gino. Go Hawks, from Ryan.
I appreciate it, Ryan. We're going to have to get something on Brandon's end, I think, because at this point, we've changed everything on my end. And it works with everybody else. So.
It's probably going to have to be me, and I'm probably due for an upgrade anyway. So,
yeah,
I think, just as Carly was saying, that it's a move that allows them to still be okay for next year, and it gives you flexibility. Maybe you can still take a quarterback. You don't have to take a quarterback.
Right. And they obviously don't have a guy that they feel is the guy at number five that tilts the field the way that John Schneider talks about quarterbacks. And I would kind of concur, after looking at some of the top prospects a little bit over the last week or so. There's guys that have tremendous talent. Like, for example, Richardson had a nice combine. That's great. Congratulations. Underwear Warriors are amazing. Wildly inconsistent as an actual quarterback. So there's just a lot of those types of players in this draft. And I think if you're looking at it the next 2 to 3 years, Geno Smith gives you the best opportunity to win a championship in the next 2 to 3 years over top of whoever is in this draft.
When we talked about it, even going into this offseason, that was the take, right? You are going to have to either find a quarterback in free agency who is better than Geno. And we saw Derek Carr today signed with the New Orleans Saints. So, hey, maybe Derek Carr was the Seahawks' first option. Once he signed with the Saints, they were ready to move on and say, here's your money, Geno.
Derek Carr was the guy that needed to sign for the rest of the contracts to start to get penciled in this year in free agency. In 4 years, $150 million works out to pretty damn close to what Geno got, right? So about the same. Here's some other comps for 2023 of quarterbacks that are making somewhere in that $30 to $35 million range. And you tell me whether you would rather have Geno or the other quarterback. Kirk Cousins, $35
million. No.
Nope. Jared Goff, $33.5 million.
No.
No, he's the 10th highest paid quarterback this year. Carson Wentz with the Commanders, obviously he's been cut, but it would have been $32 million. Matt Ryan at $30
million. Yeah,
definitely. And Tannehill at $29.5 million. And the top quarterback this year, and this is by average per year over the length of their contract, the top quarterback this year is 54 Aaron Rodgers and 49 for Russ.
Right.
So to me, it's pretty clear that Geno got what he deserved and probably a little less.
It feels like bargain-ish. And like we always say, when the numbers first come out, it usually seems high to what it ends up being. And so if that's the case here, then it's definitely going to look a lot nicer. One of our Facebook Ring of Honor members says, 2 years ago, you could have never told me that we traded Russ and signed Geno to a $105 million contract. He earned it.
Congratulations to Geno, his family, everybody, his whole team. Great day for them and well-earned. Facebook user is 100% right. Whoever our Ring of Honor member is there. But I'm happy for him and I think it's a good thing. But I want you to find your DeLorean right now, Brandon. Is it in the garage? Yeah, you got it parked
just right back here.
Just right back there. Okay. Set the set the clock to this time of year in 2012 and show up there. And I want you to guess, what is the highest salary of a quarterback that year?
All quarterbacks, probably $25 million was the highest.
So it's $18 million that year. And that was Peyton Manning. Okay. Yeah. Second highest player was Sam Bradford at 16.5. The Seattle Seahawks made a foray into free agency that year. I don't know if you remember, they signed a veteran quarterback who had been a backup most of his career to a 3-year deal that was up to $25 million, which averages out to about $8 million a year. Pretty damn close to what half of the top quarterback is in the league. That was Matt Flynn. So basically, you're getting an equivalent deal for Geno Smith that you gave Matt Flynn. Because make no mistake, when Lamar comes in with his contract, he's probably going to be close to 60, which makes Geno's salary roughly half of the top paid guy.
And if you were to ask me, would you be okay for signing Geno to a Matt Flynn equivalent contract going into the offseason? If you compared those two time periods, I would say, sign me freaking up, because I know for a fact that Geno has proven more in the NFL than Matt Flynn ever did.
Yeah. And I just want to bring that up because you said every year it seems like a crap ton of money when it first happens, right? We all pucker a little bit and all that. And
right.
It makes sense. But if you really do look at it, it's much closer to a Matt Flynn deal than it is, I don't know, a Russell Wilson deal that Denver just made. So for that right there, that makes me happy. And then the other thing that got me to thinking when I was thinking about good old Matt Flynn was people seem to think that these days the Seahawks can play with about anybody at quarterback. They just proved it with Geno. They can play with anybody. Throw Drew Lock back there. He'll be fine. History has shown that they can't just play with any quarterback. Does anybody remember Whitehurst and Tavares and Matt Flynn? Like on and on, right? It's not just anybody. They hit on a guy. So we have to actually pay.
We got Clinton in the chat saying, if this breaks right, it'll be like re-signing Lockett for the third contract when the world screamed it was expensive, but it was smart. And that's the thing too, down the road, this contract with Geno could make it easier if he performs well this season. You still have him under contract for two more seasons. If he turns out to be that Rich Gannon type player developing late in his career, a guy who won the Super Bowl MVP. So as you go into those next couple of years after the, you know, if you end up signing him to another contract, it'll be a whole lot easier because then you can build off of this contract. And that's what they did with Tyler Lockett.
I just got to tail end of that, but it sounded perfectly smart and correct.
Well, it was coming from Clinton. And so I was building off what he said. So
yeah, there we go.
Carly says, my dad will think that we're overpaying for him, but I do not care.
Yeah. Well, the older you get, the more you think everything is overpriced. So it's kind of the way it goes.
Well, you know, I was reading some of the comments just on the Pro Football Talk article that was posted. And there's always the people of, you know, geez, $35 million a year. It's not like the guy's out there curing cancer or something. And no, it's not. But Geno's making a lot of money for the Seahawks franchise. And so, yeah, the billionaire owners at the top, they end up profiting off of the team that sells them a bunch of tickets. And so I kind of like to see the guys get paid that help sell the tickets. Now, I'm also team. I want my team to be awesome and guys to sign team-friendly deals so we can have more awesome players on the team. So it's a tough scale to balance and weigh out to be team. I want to pay everybody what they're worth and team. I want my team to be awesome, but we got to thread that needle sometimes.
Absolutely. And we just saw the Kansas City Chiefs win a Super Bowl with a quarterback that makes a crap ton of money, right? Like everybody's, well, you can't do it. You can't do it. Well, you can. And we're not even going to pay him close to that. We're not.
Right.
You got that team friendly deal. And I think also too, this is a huge coup for John and Pete when it comes to their messaging and what they may be able to accomplish in free agency over the next few years. The idea that, hey, man, I know the whole league gave up on you. Come on in. We'll give you an actual chance to compete. And then when you do and you win the job, we'll let you play. And then when you play and you play well, we will reward you.
Yeah.
And that's huge, man. I think that's a huge recruiting tool going forward.
Well, and that was one of the big reasons why I thought that they would get this deal done and that they would get it done before the deadline to franchise tag players. Now, you know, if this deal doesn't get done today, maybe they do franchise Geno, but it seems like after the combine, the agents get an idea of what other options are out there, how much other teams are willing to pay, and how much money is on the board with the current team. And so this week was the perfect week for this to happen.
Yeah. And we all kind of figured that it would probably happen this week. I would have been a little surprised if it hadn't happened, you know, before the, what is it, the legal tampering period or whatever this stupid thing they call, like, hey, you can talk to your own guys. Like, no,
yeah, you know what? I think we should start calling it is the start of free agency, which
there you go.
Is the 13th like next week.
I like
which that. The actual start supposed to be the 15th, but the real start, the 13th.
Absolutely. And the cool part is too, I think it was Carly who had said in an earlier comment, you know, you can still draft a quarterback. So if they find that guy in the third, fourth, fifth round, and again, I haven't gotten quite that deep yet into the quarterbacks, but there can be dudes there that mm-hmm. could be the guy to take over after Geno if Geno has an injury. Cause I would be willing to bet Drew Locke doesn't come back this year.
I would think that some other team is probably going to give him more, but that may appeal to Drew now, seeing what happened to Geno. And hey, if you compete or if you hang in here and maybe Geno suffers an injury, you get a chance to compete. Maybe you win the job and then you get that contract at the end of the year, a 1-year deal. It makes it an option for him. But I would think that he would get a chance to compete somewhere else too. We'll have to see. I'm not opposed to it. If he signs a similar deal to whatever Geno had this past season, which wasn't huge, right?
I mean, I think I would have zero problems with Drew coming back to this team on a deal such as that. But here's the thing. If you're Drew Locke, why would you? I mean, you're banking on a Geno injury, right?
Yeah.
You don't have an opportunity to come in and beat Geno out this year. That's not happening. So I would be more inclined to take a position with, you know, the Bucks or the Panthers or the Jets or Atlanta. Some
team who's drafting a quarterback high this year, and you can go in and yeah, maybe they don't put in the work in the offseason and you can beat them out to start for the regular season.
Yep. Or be in a position with a team with a quarterback who's a starter that isn't exactly known for being consistently successful.
Like Dak Prescott.
I mean, sure. And with Dak's injury history, that actually does make a lot of sense. I think you get about Dak level of play out of Geno for a price tag of 35 a year. And Dak comes in, where's Dak? 40 a year.
40 a year. And so you're getting discount Dak at Dak level.
It ain't discount.
Bargain Dak then maybe.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause Geno's not a discount compared to Dak. I think Geno might be the better passer.
I think he might be right. All right. Bobby Wagner released just as we recorded our last episode. So you didn't have a chance to give your take. Clinton and I jumped on. We talked about it a little bit. What do you think? Bobby Wagner let go by the Rams. Should the Seahawks make a move, or does Bobby, is he so pissed at how things were handled last time that there's no way that he would come back?
If the opportunity was there, he would do it. I genuinely believe that. And there are some ways in which it makes sense, right? With Jordan Brooks being injured and need at linebacker. I mean, even 80% Bobby is better than Cody Barton by a mile. Yeah. So that's nice. And we don't know what Brooks's timetable is going to look like and how fast he's going to get back. And it's likely not going to be till probably midseason at best would be my guess. So in all those terms, it makes a lot of sense. Now in Pete Carroll land, where he's looking to get younger and they want to compete and all that, I don't think it makes much sense. You're going to have to pay him a significant chunk of change. And I think I'd rather spend that in the trenches, either side in free agency. And then on top of all that, I think now with the Geno deal, I actually do think that that is restrictive for being frivolous with money to bring back a guy for, you know, 40% sentimental reasons, 60% football reasons.
Christopher Stufstad coming in with a $4.99 super chat saying cautiously optimistic about this deal. He earned his paycheck. Plus, he doesn't have to be great and play hero ball if there's a bit of regression. And this was another point that I wanted to get to, Christopher, because I think this deal is going to depend on what kind of team that the Seahawks can put around Geno Smith. Can they build on the defensive side of the ball and not make it have to be to where he has to be the guy to win the game in the fourth quarter every single time? All they have to do is put together a competent defense, maybe slightly above average, score some points early, then allow the defense to really hold opposing offenses to close this game out. And yeah, maybe Geno comes in and wins you a game, one or two games a year, which is really what your average quarterback that you can hope for. And you count more on the defense, and that's how you find success and have success in the playoffs too.
I mean, really what you need out of the defense more than anything is just not to collapse at the end of games. I just look at all of the NFC South games, right? This year, they just don't do that stupid collapse on each one of those games. And all of a sudden you're hosting a playoff game. All of a sudden, you know, you're a little more in the mix in that sort of thing. So I don't think they're far off. I mean, don't get me wrong. The defense was putrid. But because of Geno's play, Ken Walker's play, the rookie left tackles, Damian Lewis, those guys, and DK and Tyler, because of the offense and as consistent as they were, you're not that far away because they are that good.
A couple other defenders being let go by their teams. We talked about Bobby. Shaquille Griffin sounds like he's going to be let go by the Jaguars. Frank Clark going to be let go by the Chiefs. Do you have any interest there?
I'm very interested in Shaq Griffin.
Yeah.
Had a very good year his first year in Jacksonville and then had a back injury this year. I mean, if it was a good physical, right? Like if he comes in and he checks out and as per his health, he's fine. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, I think that's a bargain for a guy who could be a 1B to Tariq, right? And a guy with a lot of experience that can help him out and, you know, coach him up through the Pete Carroll system, and he's going to fit seamlessly in the defense. I'm huge on Shaq. I bring him back now because I think it's going to be a tremendous value. Frank Clark, I think you're going to have to overpay for what his production is. And unless you are thinking that we're making a massively deep playoff run this year, not worth it. Cause he's very good in the playoffs. His regular seasons since he's been a Chief have been fairly lackluster.
No, that's a good point. He seems to show up most in the playoffs. Carlos Fuentes saying, how many games would we have won if we stopped 10% of the runs we whiffed on?
Carlos is 100% right, 0% wrong on that one, man. Like, geez, I mean, they would have been practically undefeated.
Yeah, 10% better in stopping the run. That seems like a very short gap to try and fill. And they're going to have to do it now without Sean Desai, who signed on as defensive coordinator for the Eagles here. I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know, man. How will they ever get along without a sort of defensive coordinator guru that's not or something?
Associate, yeah, the head coach and defensive co-captain of the coaching staff.
Or something.
A very confusing title, but
yes.
Now we don't have to deal with that this year.
No.
All right. Well, I wanted to make sure we jumped on, talked a little bit about Geno Smith. I also wanted to throw out a Better at Life submission, Adam. We got some sad news this past weekend as Mama Blue passed away. Legendary Seahawks fan, Mama Blue, always dressing up and showing up at the Seahawks games. And we got word that she unfortunately passed away this past weekend. So I just want to say, you know, for everything that she's meant for the team, being there all those years, cheering them on, whether, you know, even fighting through cancer this past year and just watching, you know, from wherever she was and cheering on the team, a legendary fan career for one of the ultimate Seahawks fans in Mama Blue. Mama, better at life than Skip Bayless.
Oh, man. Nailed it, dude. So glad you brought that up. Meant a ton to the fan base, the organization, the whole city, an icon, really. and she'll be deeply missed, no doubt about it.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Gino, Gino, Gino. Yeah.